Hello, everybody. I hope you're all well, and welcome back to Voice Notes with Jordan Teresa. We have perhaps the most exciting guest. No offense, Jack Edwards. We have the incredible, always hilarious Mike's Mike. Introduce yourself, Mike. What do you do for anyone that doesn't know?
Hello, everybody. I like to think of myself as like commentary YouTube's annoying weird cousin. So like I exist in the same family, but you know, like everyone has like that one cousin that's like, oh, like what's happening over there? That's me. I do like videos about movies and TV, pop culture, and then also it's already happening, like it's already happening, like pop culture,
I've
like,
already
got the accent in there. I mean, because like I get it, you get it, like we are both like, that's how we speak. So yeah, I'm basically just a clown and a menace on the internet.
Absolutely. Mike is one of my favorite YouTubers. I started watching Mike back in the day in like 2019 when you did the pigeon dating simulator.
Yeah, okay.
And also when you did the Ratatouille costume, iconic. Oh, yeah. And to see Mike steer from, you know, short form, very snappy, to this super long form content has been so nice to see. Like, I absolutely love it. How are you finding being a long form girly?
Well, first of all, congratulations on 500k.
Oh, Mike, stop it. Mike's nearly a million, by the way, so everybody listen.
Everyone subscribe, guys.
Everybody like subscribe.
980,000, which is like... literally bonkers, like it's crazy.
My god, that's insane.
But sorry, what was the question? How am I enjoying like long form content?
Yeah, how are you enjoying being a long form girly? Like, I'm just okay. Nosy, to be honest.
Okay, I love it. Like, it's so much fun. First of all, it's more work. Like, I don't want to get it twisted. Like, long form content, as you would know, like there's a lot of effort that goes into it. And I find it like these days, the biggest part is scripting because.
Yeah.
I've found like, I've really tried to work on my scripting and I feel like it's really helped. And I think since I've started focusing on that, the videos, you know, have longer retention rates, people are enjoying them more. So I would say that's also my favorite part. So like, I will spend the most amount of time scripting a video and really engaging with the content, researching it, blah, 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 blah. And watching other people's stuff on the same topic. I find it's interesting to see what other people are saying about the same thing. And then the thing that I hate doing is the actual recording.
Like, I don't know about you. Same. That's my least favorite part.
That's why I don't have an editor. Because I sit for hours and I record, but I'm just fucking doing anything. So I'm like, I can't send that footage to anyone. They're going to be like, what the hell is wrong? Like, what's happening here?
Don't even. I'm really lucky that my editor is one of my best friends.
Oh, it's your own.
So she's one. Okay. And she has been through it all with me. And last week I was having a problem with my tripod and I have quite a short fuse when it comes to recording videos because I'm like, I don't want to fucking be here. I remember I was saying to one of my friends, I was like, oh, don't you just hate recording videos? And he was like, no, I don't actually. That's like the job. And I'm like, oh,
wait.
Right.
I'm on your side with this.
And you know what I think it is? I think people that don't script their videos like recording them because they're just speaking. It's like how I love recording podcast episodes because I'm just talking.
It's like off the cuff. It's chill.
It's so chill. And yeah. I was like losing my shit at my tripod. And I literally just went, fuck. Fuck. And then I had to send her a message like, I'm so sorry about what you're about to see. But I just have no shame nowadays. Like, I have no fucking shame.
No, that's good.
Yeah, but I know I completely feel you on the recording videos part because you're sat there for so long and I don't know whether you get the word count up on your scripts, but like I'll be halfway through and I'm like, oh my God, I've got 2,500 words.
I go by pages. So like, for example, my Gossip Girl season 3, I think it was like 56 pages or something. And like usually like a page, maybe I've got that number wrong, but a page after editing is about 4 minutes. But then to record it takes me about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on the content. So that gives an indication of how long it takes. I'll literally break it down into pages and I'll be like, okay, I've done 5 pages, 45 left. Like, it's fine, I can do it.
Okay, you know what? It does sound like you take way longer than a normal person to record their videos. Because usually I've got like 5,000 words, so it's about 8 pages, and I could usually get it banged down in an hour. Or like, yeah, like I bang through it so quickly. Wait, because I read through the script before.
What am I doing wrong?
Do you scroll on your phone? I keep my phone away from me when I record.
No, I don't have my phone out. Maybe it's just like, it just takes me a while to get the right take, maybe.
So true, because yours is a lot more comedic. Like, I'm just like spitting out regurgitating information. I don't really have to be funny, which, by the way, I look at you like a stand-up comedian. Really?
Yeah.
Thank you, because I'm actually having a stand-up comedian on next month. Her name's Michelle DeSwater. She's amazing.
Okay.
And I want to have her on because stand-up comedy is like my biggest nightmare. Like,
me too.
Really? Because I feel like what you do is stand-up comedy in a way. You're just filming it.
No. See, okay. I went to the very first comedy set that I went to was Curtis Connor in Melbourne, and he was amazing. And the whole time I was like, no, like, I can't do this. Like, how?
Literally, like, I used to watch Drag Race, whenever they do the stand-up comedy challenge, I'd be like, no, this is literally like my biggest fear, like my biggest nightmare. Yeah. I cannot be funny on command. Like,
well, like, I find that, I don't know, I think the reason why his set was so good to me, I think, was because it was so like planned out, and like he had a really good stage presence. And I feel like the thing that would scare me is if my jokes were bombing, that I wouldn't know how to like deal with that. I'd just be like, oh, like I'd probably say some fucking dumb shit to try and get them back to laughing. But a lot of my humor is like silly, bleh, stupid humor, where it's like,
yeah.
Stand-up comedians are like actually funny and the jokes are like actually thought out and scripted. So it's like, oh, that's the difference.
I feel like, to be fair, there's a lot of, I guess it's like chronically online, right? There's a lot of like in jokes. So like,
I just don't forget anything. So like, if I see something on Twitter, I'm like, done, stored. Like, I'll think about it like in 5 years and be like, oh, that was funny.
That was funny. Like, when you started doing your British accent, I was thinking of, oh my God, you're in a crisis. I'm on my way.
You're in a crisis. I'm on my way. Super nanny.
Super nanny.
Yes. Yes, actually, that reminds me, I need to, one of my goals for 2024 is to, like, properly catalogue my memes archive so that I'll have, like, Super Nanny as a category. I'll have Dance Moms as a category because, like, I'm so big on, like, media storage and archiving right now. No, like, I'm but being serious. I kind of
love that. No, like, I know, because isn't it, they've taken something off the internet, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Sorry. You know how there's like certain Netflix exclusive shows that they're taking off of Netflix? Yeah. And it's like there's no way that you can now watch them because they're not anywhere else. DVD.
And there's no like physical copy of it, so you can't like just have it on DVD.
Yeah, it's like, and it's honestly like, it's like the modern burning of the Library of Alexandria, because you can't take off this stuff.
Exactly, exactly. So it's like, I am like, every time I see something that I think is a funny video specifically, I will like save it and I'll archive it and I'll bookmark it just so like I have it and I can go back to it at any point. But it's just a mess. So like now I need to properly archive it, like with like labels and headings and tags, so that I know exactly what I'm looking for.
Yes.
A lot of the time, like when I'm like looking for a specific meme or like reaction picture to put on my Instagram story, I like have like folders in my phone, but they're like Twitter, TikTok, and I just save it where I got it from. But I think I could go further and like properly put tags and stuff.
This is going to change the game. Are you going to make these files public? Are they going public?
Well, I did in 2019 it was 2019. I did like a going through my memes folder and people really enjoyed that. But I think now, I don't know if everyone will think the stuff that I think is funny is funny. Whereas like a lot of my memes then were like very like surface level meme. But like now it's like iceberg level 6. So it's like, maybe it's just for me. And then like the ones that I share to the people, they can enjoy that on an Instagram story. They can screenshot and like crop and save.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Love that. Love mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So the way that we start out every episode of Voice Notes is we do TV show I'm watching, or you could do a movie. You can switch out for a movie. Okay. Book I'm reading, or and song I'm listening to. So take it away, Mike. What TV show or movie have you watched or been watching?
Can I do a TV and a movie show? And a movie show, hello? A TV show and a movie?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, I've been watching Lost, of course, because I'm doing my season 2 video and I needed to watch the entire show to do that. Have you seen mm-hmm. Lost?
I remember my mum used to, I've seen bits and bobs because my parents used to watch it back in the day when it came out, and we used to live in a hotel room together. Long story, we used to live in a hotel room, all four of us, and she used to be like, turn around, we're putting on Lost. And I'm like, she's like, it's too scary. So I'd turn around and I'd be like,
what's Jack doing on that island over there? Yeah, so season 2, there's a lot of things that happen that are like linked back to in like season 5, season 6. So I figured it'd be smart to like go through and take notes on those before I go back into season 2. So that's what I've been watching on TV. But then movies, I watched Anatomy of a Fall.
I watched that too.
Did you love it?
Loved it. I gave it 5 stars on Letterboxd.
I gave it 4.5. I thought the second act could have been a little bit more succinct. So I said 4.5. That's pretty much as high as I'll give a movie, 4.5. But I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. What was your favorite part about the movie?
Okay, there was one reveal about the main lady who, like, to do with her. I don't want to spoil it, but like they reveal something about her. And I was like, like it gagged me a bit in that cinema. Also, the blind kid's acting, like the actor's not blind. I was like, how are you so good at this?
Is he not blind?
The actor's not blind. I was like, how are you so good? You're like 11. Also, the dog's acting.
Kath said the same thing. Wait, was it Kath? Yeah, Kath messaged me like, Jordan, I'm watching Anatomy of a Fall right now. This dog. I'm like, I know. And I thought that she had auto-corrected or something. I was like, do you mean the kid? And she was like, no, the dog.
The dog. I'm like, there needs to be pet Oscars. Like, there needs to be a category for pets.
Mm-hmm.
Or like animals, because not all animals are pets. That should be categorized. Or like a child, like acting category. Because I usually don't like child actors. They annoy me. Sometimes children in movies and TV, I'm like, oh, let's age up. You're pissing me off. But this child was really good.
Really, really good. And it's times like that. Like I watched, have you watched After Sun?
No, I would be too sad.
Highly recommend. I watched it on the plane and I cried so much. The man next to me asked if I was okay. And I was like, it's fine. I'm just thinking about like the fact that my dad's just a human being under all of it. You know what I mean? And he was like, oh right.
I can't watch
and
it.
And I cried. Honestly, it's an emotional experience. I would not recommend on the basis of it made me cry.
Okay.
And I was watching it and the child in it is so good. The child in it is so good. And I do think that children get really unfairly under-nominated in Oscars, because it's not like they're not eligible. You don't have to be over 18 to get nominated for an Oscar.
You
can
don't?
Be any age. I don't think so, because I'm pretty sure children have been nominated for Oscars like back in the 60s.
Wasn't there like the kid who was in The Room with
Brie Larson? Yes.
There was like a nomination there, I'm pretty sure. Or like maybe like best supporting actor or something.
Exactly. So it's possible. Mm. And this little French kid acted his ass off. I also loved the PIMP drum cover.
Yeah.
So good. And also I was like...
Sorry, you go.
Carry on.
That was so corporate of us. That was so... Oh, my God. I actually just got chills. Look, okay. The hair on my arm just stood up because I just got, like, 2020, like, flashback chills.
So corporate. You go first.
Oh, my God. Okay. No, I will go first. So the thing that really gagged me about this movie is the writing, because it was not based on anything. Which to me was crazy, because it just... felt so real. So usually when that happens in like a movie, that's because it's based on some other material. So that's like they're pulling from that material. But this was completely like an original screenplay. And I was like, how did you do this? Like, what? How did you make this seem so real? How did you add these plot details that make it seem so like human?
Yeah, so also to derail off that point, that lawyer is so hot.
Yeah. 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 Gonna yeah. need to go and watch all of his movies.
Yes, I'll be there on his IMDb. But I love the writing, and I loved the fact, again, my camera stopped recording. One second.
Make sure I'm all focused. Wait, there you go.
Was that at the 30-minute mark?
Yes. Canon. Do you record on Canons as well?
Yeah, but I upgraded because I used to be on a Canon EOS 80D, but any camera, okay, let me get this right. Any camera that is made in Japan that is not a camcorder and is not like another, like there's like a distinction, or maybe like a cinema camera or whatever it is, they cap out at $29.59, so they don't fall under a different tax rule. So Canon or Panasonic, whatever, pay less tax on the device.
What?
So that's why like DSLRs cap out at $29.59.
I thought it had something to do with storage. You mean they're making my life harder because they don't want to pay their damn taxes?
Yeah. So like I upgraded to, what have I got here? It's like EOS 6D, 6R, something like that. And because it's like a different kind of camera, it's mirrorless or something, it falls under a different tax rule. So this records for like 4 hours. Or 6 hours.
The dream, because... Oh, it's a dream, because I know that a lot of my friends use Sony's and they don't have a cap on theirs, and I'm like, life must be great.
Yeah, see, do you rep Canon?
It's one of those things, me and Jack have spoken about it before. I love dropping his name and things. I literally talk about him in
every podcast. Oh, are you friends with Jack? I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And we were talking about how a lot of the time when you buy a camera, I mean, at least for, I feel like you're very high tech. Like, I feel like you're very technologically smart. We just bought cameras because our favorite YouTuber recommended it and we needed a new camera. Like, I've got no knowledge. I think it was Nicole Raffi was like, I'm buying this new camera. And I was like, oh, that looks
good. Wait, what does she use? Like,
It says EOS on the front.
Yeah, it's got to be Canon then.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a Canon. It's a Canon EOS and it's a 6 something. It's got a 6.4 millimeter, 15 to 45 right. millimeter lens on it.
Right.
I think you can pop the lens off, maybe. Jack taught me how to use
when
it.
When did you get it?
To use it? Like 3 years ago.
Okay, I was going to say, if it's like recent, then it shouldn't have the cap on it. But... maybe have that.
I
bought the camera, this new camera, when I got to maybe it was 800,000 as like a little treat. Because I know you bought your like bath towels and bath mat for your 500K. So maybe like chuck a camera on the list.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, like true. I love my towels, by the way. Anybody who listened to my last episode, I bought these bougie towels. They're from Tekla and they are amazing.
I need new towels. I don't know what happened, but I think I might have put like something dark in the washing machine, like a dark spirit in the washing machine, because it like it put some like fucking blue all through my light brown towels. So now they all look like shit. Like, I'm like, well, damn. Like, how am I going to fix this now?
But it's kind of like tie-dye. Like,
it's so like DIY. Like, it's so like I did a project. Like, that kind of vibe.
It's so my life is Ava, Mac Barbie 07, DIY for back to school. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I have been watching on my TikTok. Did you ever watch Mac Barbie 07, or have you seen Mac Barbie 07 videos? She was like a beauty guru back in the day.
How do you spell?
Yeah, it's Bethany Mota.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. I know Bethany Mota, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she used to upload these, like, this is how to decorate your locker, this is how to go to school, da, 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 da. Like, all these, like, get ready with me, is all this. And it was, like, a lot of it had to relate to school, right? Mm-hmm. Funniest thing, I found out she was fucking homeschooled. Like, no wonder.
Really?
Yes, I'm like, no wonder you think that I could put on a full face of makeup, make a healthy breakfast, choose an outfit. You don't even go to school.
Wait, that is actually so iconic. I love it when there's like someone that you wouldn't suspect to be lying is lying about something. And it's like something that's like not even a serious lie, but it's like so much of what you do revolves around this lie. Yeah. I love that.
I think what I kind of like about it is that technically she never said that she went to school. She just made so much content around school. And she actually used to like, I remember she used to go into schools when they were like closed on a Saturday or something and like decorate a locker. And this is my locker iconic. Organization tips. So funny. Like, I'm obsessed with her. She secured her bag. She had her collab with Aeropostal. And I love her for it. I'm pretty sure she still uploads on YouTube. And I absolutely love that.
I love that. She would have been 2010 to like 2014, right?
Mm-hmm.
Golden age.
Literally a simpler time. Like, I remember when I made my Brit Crew video, I was like, oh, to just sit in front of a camera and do a chubby bunny challenge and make 10 grand. Like, do you know what I
mean? Imagine. No, that's literally so iconic. I feel like I derailed that so far away from the three things I was supposed to talk about, which was like the movie, the book. Yes. Okay. I just finished a book called The Wager, and this book, I have so much to say about it, but I will summarize my points. First thing is that it takes me so fucking long to read a book. Like, it takes me such a long time, and everyone keeps like taking the piss out of me that it takes so long to read a book. And I'm like, I'm sorry that I'm like taking in every single word as the author intended it. Like, it sounds like a you problem if you're skimming, but I have to read every word. Like, I just have to. But this book, The Wager, is written by the same person who wrote Killers of the Flower Moon. And it was supposed to be Martin Scorsese's next movie, but now he's doing some Jesus movie. So I'm assuming it's the one after. And it's about a shipwreck in the 1700s. And I'm anti-ocean, but I love ocean media.
Okay, slightly elaborate on that. I think I know what you mean, but just in case for the audience.
Okay. I don't like the ocean because there are too many unknowns, and things that we do know raise further questions. And I don't like that. And I don't like that it just goes down. And I think I know too much from a science perspective. Like, water pressure is insane and scary. Water pressure is insane. Like, it's insane.
Water pressure is fucked. Like, you must have been like, oh my God, the Titan submersible. It kept me up at night.
Like, just like things about like the pressure differentials happening between like a submarine and the outside, all this kind of shit. Or like anything that's like anything I can't escape from, I'm scared of. Not to get too deep, but like, I would hate to be on the ocean because it's like, I can't get out. Like, if I was on a little boat in the ocean, like, I'm there, like, I can't go anywhere. Same with a plane. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm fine with a plane now because I've seen what happens when a plane crashes. Lost. But then with the ocean, also, like, the animals, I'm like, they're huge. And also, that's not my territory. That's their territory. Not only am I invading their territory, but they have every reason to, like, not like me.
Yeah, like, I love when I hear about the orcas that are sinking people's yachts. I'm like, fucking good. That orcas are my favorite animals. I think they're icons.
That's like, I don't want to be in their territory because, like, that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
They're within their rights.
They've been unnecessarily smeared as mean and evil, and I'm not having a bar of it.
They could be mean and evil, but also that doesn't excuse me from going in their territory. So I'm going to let them do them and I'm going to do me on the land. But then also, 1700s, we're talking like a ship, like a shitty little ship, and there's like fucking scurvy. There's like mites and fleas and shit. There's like people just dying nonstop. There's like just like leaning over the like side of the boat to shit and throw up. I'm like, this is disgraceful. You people are disgraceful.
So
1700s were disgraceful.
No, do you follow the History Gossip on TikTok?
No.
She is an icon, a legend. She is the moment. She creates history videos, but makes them for a Hun audience.
Okay.
So one of her videos was called Anne of Cleves a Minger? And it's like the story And it's basically about how Anne of Cleves Henry VIII said that she was ugly and that's why he didn't marry her. Mm. But actually, it was Anne of Cleves was not a minger. She actually, like, Henry VIII was just really insecure and she actually turned him down. I think that's the story.
Wow.
But she makes, like, these history videos for a Hun audience and she always talks about how fucking unhygienic the Victorian times were and, like, all of this stuff. Oh, love it. Love
it. Okay, I'll have to check that out. I would absolutely love that. But, yeah, so it's like this, like, fuck-ass boat in the ocean and they get shipwrecked because they're going around Cape Horn, which is like the bottom of like South America. And like the seas mm-hmm. are crazy. Like they're crazy seas. And they're in like a squadron of like five ships. And one of the ships gets shipwrecked onto the island. And then there's a mutiny and they're British. So it's a mutiny. And then they get back, they get back to London. But what happens is they leave half the group behind. So one, like, little, like, makeshift yacht thingy that they made arrives in, like, Brazil. And they're like, we survived this shipwreck. Also, this is not spoilers because this is the start of the book. And then, okay. like, a few months later, or however long later, another dingier yacht turns up somewhere else and, like, no, we were the survivors. And there was a mutiny and they tried to kill us. And this is all real.
Whoa.
And it gagged me a bit. Also because I was thinking Martin Scorsese, like, he needs that little white chair to sit in to, like, to film a movie, to direct. So how's he going to do that on the high seas?
That makes me feel nervous.
Also,
oh,
he's
my
like,
God.
How
I
old
love
is he? I'm scared for him on the high seas.
Did you know he's directing the new Squarespace ad for the Super Bowl? And that's just so funny to me.
Really? Also, when's the Super Bowl?
March.
Do
I only know
care?
That's my boyfriend's really into American football. My boyfriend's
next
into
week.
It. Is it?
I feel like it's like February 11. Like I have that in my head. Hang on. Let's Google that. When...
Two dumb bitches saying exactly.
When is the Super Bowl? Monday, 12th of February, 10:30 a.m., which is the 11th of February in America. The reason why I know that is because Popcrave tweeted about it because Taylor Swift's boyfriend is in it.
That's the only reason why I know what's going on. I keep seeing like these pictures of Travis Kelce getting like ready for the Super Bowl and I'm like,
I saw this,
like, he's so cute.
I saw this one tweet today and it was like a picture of him getting a haircut and the caption was picture of Travis potentially taken by Taylor, but it had like that fuck-ass filter that she always uses on Instagram. So someone had retweeted and they're like, who else would be using this fuck-ass filter? Of course it's Taylor Swift. It was so funny. Oh my God.
I saw that picture as well and I was like, I love the Retrieka vibe to the picture, queen.
I was like, let's get into this Visco bag. She said, let
love,
me use,
love.
Like, whoever's got, like, a preset out. Did Alfie have, like, Visco presets? Alfie Days, not Tori.
I was literally about to say, I was like, Alfie Days.
Like, I feel like he's a type
I love
of person
that you first to, like, be, named.
To be selling, like, Visco presets.
He does, but also I think oh, my God, you know, I actually met him. I went to a Shopify dinner.
This Shopify post- dinner, come on. Wait, I need to talk about that, but you go first.
It was post my Brit Crew video where I loved making that video and I felt like I was very nice in that video. Anyway, so I go to this Shopify dinner. It's very like small and intimate. There's like 10 creators.
I'm a creator. Like 10-
I would rather call myself an influencer than a creator. I don't think I like the word creator.
I don't like either. I like when people ask me what I do, I just like, and just like come up with some fucking shit on the fly because I hate both of those words.
To be fair, I go, I make YouTube videos and then they go, really? And
actually,
then they're like, what do you do?
Actually, that's, yeah, YouTube, I say YouTube and like that's so niche now because hardly anyone does YouTube. But then also on Raya, I'm a writer.
Oh, yeah. Putting YouTuber in your dating... I mean, I never use dating apps.
And let's celebrate that for you. Let's celebrate that for
you.
Some of us, on the other hand...
I have never used dating apps, but I feel like putting YouTuber in your dating app bio is like a bit of a... Apparently it's an ick.
I would never, like, I would never, ever, ever. I either don't have a job on dating apps, or I'm still a software engineer, or I'm a writer.
Writer's a good one, because it's very broad.
It's
as
like,
well.
What's, but, he, oh my God, what's he writing?
What's he write? Like, oh, I'm just going to go and write. And it's like me writing about pop culture for 5
it's
hours.
It's still writing. It's still writing. Sorry, continue with your story.
So I'm opening the door and I come face to face with Alfie Days. Okay. And I'm literally like, oh, like, I just go, oh. And
he gagged,
like,
you a bit.
First of all, he did gag me a bit. He's actually so tall. He's very tall.
Ooh,
he's very good looking as
Ooh,
well.
Okay.
And then we ended up being sat on slightly different tables, but we ended up sort of moving onto the same table. And then we ended up talking to each other. And he's like, so what do you do? And I was like, I make like video essays. And I was like, so I'd had a couple of glasses of Prosecco. I was so tempted to be like, I have made a video about your friendship group and like the phenomenon that was the Brit crew. Exactly. Because I was worried in case he would get a bit offended, in a sense where I can understand if it's like, oh, I'm this like random girl and I've made a video about like the phenomenon that was your career. Do you know what I mean?
Because, but it's like, it is a phenomenon. So it's like, I don't think he would be offended. If anything, it's flattering to have people talk about your like career and your rise.
I think it's very flattering. And I was pretty nice. Well, I think, what was the worst thing I said about him? I think the worst thing I said was that he was a bit out of touch sometimes. But right. That just comes with YouTuber influencer brain rot. Do you know what I mean? Like, even I can be out of touch sometimes. Like, because... Like, I'll be like, oh God, the commute was murder, such a hard day at work. And it's just, I scrolled on TikTok all day.
Yeah, there's like a, definitely like a scale of out of touchness, out of touchicity.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jack always has, Jack asked this question. Oh my God, stop, I'm literally obsessed with him.
Oh my God, wait, Jack, who's Jack? You've never mentioned him.
Yeah, he always asks, what is your biggest... Like, no matter how much you're sort of like low on funds, this is your one non-negotiable. So I can't remember what he said, but for me, my biggest non-negotiable was my food shop. Like, I always shop at a shop called Waitrose, which is like it's a bougie supermarket. Okay. And it's so
like, it sounds
so, do you have
bougie?
Like a non, it's Waitrose.
I'm ducking off to Waitrose. What's my non-negotiable? I mean, it would have been like a coffee, like to get a coffee, no matter what. But then I bought a coffee machine, so I don't really. No, let me think about that, because it might be steak night every Tuesday.
You do steak night every Tuesday?
Yeah, I go around to all the places that did the steak night and I compare the steaks.
Wait, what's steak night?
Okay, so like there'll be lots of pubs and like restaurants that do one night of the week that's the steak is cheaper. So like usually if like the steak's like $30, it'll be like $20. And you get like chips and a salad on the side. So it's like, wait, why is that shocking?
I've never heard of this before. This is such a good idea. Like,
wait,
this
you've
is
never
what
heard
I'm
of steak
of.
Night?
No.
What?
They do not have that over here.
Do you have pubs?
They don't. Yeah, but we don't have steak night at pubs. There's just steak there all the time.
But then there's not one day of the week where it's cheaper?
No.
Like, that's crazy.
No. Oh my God, the cultural differences, like, they're pretty crazy.
Like, I went to steak night on Tuesday last week, and like, I go out to restaurants by myself all the time. So I was like, just like sitting there reading my book, The Wager, and I was at the end of the book, so it was getting crazy. And I was in this like, old, like really old building, and it was like an old pub, and the book was talking about London in the 1800s at this point. So I'm like, I'm literally in 1800s London having a steak right now.
Oh my God, that's so immersive.
No, it was. Yeah,
I love how, oh my God, I did sorry, we're going so off track, but I did VR recently and it was so fun.
VR,
like,
what?
I went to one of those. It was like a VR center. Oh. It's literally around the corner from my house. And
I would live there.
So it's like you go there, they proper like fix the headset onto you. It's actually so disorienting. I had to ask.
Is this
them to take
the
one
where you can walk
point.
Around?
No, you're like in a pod. Oh. And you like everything around you is VR. And there's like shooting games, there's zombie games. You don't like walk around, but you can like move around. And like you play with other people and they're like in the booths next to you and you can all
Wait,
hear
that
each other.
So fun. If I had friends, I would love to
it
do that.
It is so fun.
I have a VR headset and I usually just play Beat Saber.
What's Beat Saber?
Oh my god. Okay. It is one of the best games ever, first of all. Beat Saber. So you have two lightsabers, and then it's like Guitar Hero, but it's like in VR. So you have like these cubes coming towards you on the beats, and you like slice them with your lightsabers. But it's like, it's like Katy Perry, BTS, like it's Lady Gaga. Like they're all like really like popular pop songs, and you're just like going to town.
That's so fun. That's kind of, we played a game like that in the VR, but it was like we were drummers and we were Vikings. They didn't have any fun pop songs. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was cool.
It sounds cool.
But it was cool. Yeah.
I believe you. I believe you that it was cool.
Yeah. What's the song you've been listening to?
Okay, so I'm gonna give you two answers because the most is someone yelling. Yeah, someone's yelling outside my window, which is typical Melbourne, right? The most recent song,
Melbourne.
Yeah, the most recent song that I listened to was "Sangria Wine" by Camila Cabello and Pharrell Williams.
Oh, is it good?
Like, yeah, like it's a cute song. But then I would say the song that
a profound silence has entered the chat.
But like, I was listening to it. And I searched it out to listen to it. Like, it's not a new song. So, like, it popped up in my head. Okay. I'm like, sometimes I'll just be like, sangria wine. And I need to go stream it. But then other than that, there's... Do you listen to much K-pop?
Mm-mm.
Well, you should.
But please, tell me.
There's a group called G Idol. And they have this new song out called Super Lady. Ooh. And it's so good. Like, it's so unserious. And I learned the choreo at dance class. So I've been listening to that on repeat. And they have this, like, one lyric where she's like, "Let go, I'm fearless. I came to take win." And I'm like, yes. Yes. That's the energy that I'm bringing to my Saturday.
Love. Love that. Mm-hmm. Let me quickly run through the TV show I'm watching, book I'm reading, song I'm listening to. Because I'm pretty sure nothing's actually changed from my last episode.
Okay.
TV show I'm watching. Okay, this has actually changed. I've been watching Love and Hip Hop Miami.
Ooh. That's
so
a wild choice.
Good. So it came up on like my suggested. And I was like, oh, I've never watched this before. Let me put it on. And I put it on and I've sort of fallen out of love with reality TV recently. I've been trying to watch Love Island All Stars and it actually fucking sucks. It's so bad.
No, okay. You're absolutely right. I think there's been too much dating reality TV that we've kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
It's so oversaturated that it sort of like ruins reality TV for me. So I'm like, I'm searching for something different. So maybe I'll go into Traitors, I think is what I saw on Twitter.
Have you seen The Traitors, right?
I've never seen it before.
Oh my god, Mike, watch the first season of the UK Traitors. Amazing, like just incredible reality TV.
Okay.
So good.
Okay, okay.
Highly recommend.
Sorry to interrupt you. Love and Hip Hop Miami.
So I've been watching Love and Hip Hop Miami and look, it's like Lem tells me that it's good for my ADHD because it's just constant stimulation from all, he's like, there's always royalty-free hip hop playing, there's always like sound effects. I can't watch too much of it because there's always so much going on.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just, it's such a nice change from like Love Island where you watch an entire 45 minute episode and nothing happens.
There's so many episodes.
So many episodes. And also there's like, I was talking about it with my friends. I was like, why are we getting Love Island three times a year? Like the whole point of Love Island is that it exhausts you in the summer. So you don't want to watch it again until a year later.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about it, I am kind of watching Love Island because I'm watching Lost. Because there's love on an island.
Yes, exactly.
I actually, I had a weird interaction with some cast members of Love Island Australia at an event, but I would not go further than that.
I mean, that doesn't shock me. I don't think I've actually ever seen any... Actually, no, I have seen a few people from Love Island at events. And I remember one of them, I disliked them, pronoun free, so nobody can guess who it was. Mm-hmm. No one's going to guess who it is. And I literally out loud went, ugh. Like,
I find that a lot of the people that I meet from reality TV, they're like usually lovely and they're so nice.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like been a couple where I'm like, whoa, like just calm down. Like it's like not that serious. I remember there was like one from The Bachelor, Bachelor or Bachelorette, and like just straight out the gate. She said to me, who are you that gets you into this party? And I was like, first of all, this party's not that good. But this was like a few years ago. But it was crazy.
That's crazy. I am actually really lucky. I have never had any rude influencer interactions, really. Well, I go to a lot of events and stuff.
Actually, that's what I was going to say before when you were saying that you went to that Shopify event. I'm so jealous because, like, it seems like you know so many, like, creators and influencers and stuff in your city because there are a lot of them. There's, like, hardly any in Australia.
That's what I was thinking, actually, that, like, it must be, like, and again, the events that I do get invited to, I very rarely get invited to events just me on my own. It's usually Jack brings me as his plus one. Love having a famous friend. But like even the ones that I do get invited to, they're not that good. Like they are not that good. I think the only like ones where I had a lot of fun was the Shopify dinner. That was really fun because I met Alfie Days. But I've been to quite a lot, and every single time I've been like, that was a bit crap. So you're not missing out on anything,
the
really.
The ones I like, I get invited to like movie premieres and stuff, and I love those. It's always like really fun to go to those and like meet the people that are there. And I also just love going to the movies, like in any capacity, like going to the movies as part of an event, going to the movies with a bunch of people, going to the movies by myself. I just love just the action of going into somewhere to watch something for a period of time when that's all you and everyone else is doing. Like, is that not just so cute that people just, like, go willingly to, like, sit in a room in the dark and watch a movie together?
That is cute. I love, like, the cuteness of people. Like, I was talking to one of my friends about this. This is so daft. So it got really cold in the UK a couple of weeks ago, like -5 degrees. It was crazy. So everyone's, like, wrapped up in their, like woolies and their scarves and their hats and things like that, and it's actually so cute walking to the tube, seeing everyone is fucking miserable. No one's talking to each other, obviously, because it's London. But everyone's got like, you'll see the most miserable man, but you have like a knitted hat with a bobble on the top, and it's just so cute, and like the little mismatched gloves and the scarves, it's, and so no one looks the same.
Yeah,
it's so cute.
Everyone's got their little, I love, like, the cuteness. Their little stories.
Yeah, their little stories. I'm literally like, where did they get those gloves from?
Literally.
Like, oh my god.
So you get it, you get it.
I get it. But I can't even remember what we were talking about. So sorry.
Let me think. We were talking about the movies. Oh yeah, I interrupted you. I was just like, that's so crazy that I interrupted you. That's never happened before. I interrupted you to say that there are like hardly any other like YouTube people in Australia or like influencers or whatever.
Are you not friends with like any people that are in your career?
Well, I mean, I know, like, some people now from TikTok. So I've gone to some, like, events where I meet people who do TikTok. So I'm friends with a bunch of people who do that. But in terms of YouTube, I can't think of any off the top of my head. I think I've met some, but a lot of them are in gaming in Australia. So it's like there's not a lot of intersection, or we wouldn't really run into each other much at events. But, yeah, actually, most of the people that I've met through creative industries music people, which is interesting.
Oh, really? Oh, love that. Yeah, I'm really lucky that I've got so many friends that make YouTube videos. And it's like, especially, it's like, it's nice to sort of have people in your line of work that like you can complain to, because if I complain to my boyfriend who is a teaching assistant, works with kids who have like extra needs, and
so a real
comes
job.
Back every day comes back from work every day exhausted, like, and I'll just be like, oh, like, I had to write, like, 1,000 words of a script today, and oh, I have to watch rom-coms all weekend for my Valentine's Day video, like, oh.
Wait, is that a spoiler?
What, for my Valentine's Day video?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really care about spoiling my videos.
Okay. Can you say which rom-coms? Can you give me one?
I am going to watch Anyone But You in the cinema on Sunday.
Oh, I haven't seen that. But I would like to see it. It just seems silly. And I like silly movies.
I love silly movies. I watched Mission Impossible 2.
The silliest. I actually,
recently.
I have a hat that says Mission Impossible 2 on it.
Cool. Because I liked it. Because I said to him, I was like, because we watched the first one together. And then we watched the second one. And I was like, this one was so much better than the first one. I love this one.
Is Mission Impossible 2 the one where they're randomly in Australia?
I think so. It's the one with, I can't remember the actress, but they're like driving next to each other in the car, making eye contact and like having a conversation. I think it is in Australia.
Yeah. And it's like, there's like the bio threat or something. It's actually, I think number 2 potentially is the most garbage of the lot. But they actually get progressively better after that. But it's like they start. Mm-hmm. See, if, and see, here's my thing. If we didn't allow it to be bad, then we would not have got the excellent movies that came after it.
See, the thing is, I actually like the fact that it was bad. Len was like, this was the worst rated one of the series. And I was like, really? This is amazing.
You're like, well, actually, I'm a cinephile and I loved it. So what now?
I was like, I loved it. Mm-hmm. So that's the TV show and the movie that I've watched recently. Mm-hmm. The book I'm reading, I'm still, again, everybody always takes the piss out of how still I read books. I was reading this QAnon book for, I'm not even joking, like 6 months. I posted a picture of it on Instagram. So I was like, this fucking book, like, please. Mm-hmm. I'm so embarrassed.
How many pages?
But I've been... It's like 400 pages, but it's non-fiction. And also non-fiction is like really hard to get through because it's like you need to reread the pages for the info to go in. Exactly. Otherwise, you've learned nothing.
Exactly.
Exactly. But I've been reading Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow, which is really good. Okay. It's like a... have you heard of it before?
I've seen the cover. I feel like maybe... How have I seen this cover? Has it been in some Jack Edwards content?
I think it has. It's okay. Also a book talk... Like, famous book. I think you would actually really... I mean, I don't know. It's sort of... I guess it's kind of slice of life, but I think you'd like it because it's about these two friends that went to university to both program games. And I think it's And I think it's sort of setting up to, like, a bit of competition between the two of them.
Oh, my God. I love that. I love that. That feels like Social Network. Yeah. I love the Social Network.
It looks really cool because, like, one of them's a girl, one of them's a guy... it's set in the 90s as well, so it's like they're referencing a bunch of like 90s programming and games. And it's also about like his experience because he's disabled, and then her experience because she's like a woman and she's like one of the only girls in her class. And
what country is it set in?
Seriously. It's set in America. They went, they go, one of them goes to Harvard, and I don't know which state is Harvard in, do you know? I think the other one goes to MIT.
Are they both in... Wait, hang on. I do know this. I do know this. Harvard is in, like, it's in, like Boston?
Shall I fact check that?
Boston, Massachusetts or something like that. I don't know. Like, that sounds right.
I feel like it definitely is Massachusetts because the other one, one of them goes to MIT, which I'm pretty sure is Massachusetts Tech, right?
Yeah.
Two dumb bitches who aren't American saying exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. And I told her.
Exactly. And the song I'm listening to is, let me get up my Spotify. Mm-hmm. I've actually, as much as I hated the movie, I have been listening to a few of the songs from the Saltburn soundtrack because Emerald Fennell ate that one thing. She ate that from that shitty fucking movie that I wasted 2 hours of my life on.
Visually, a lot of the choices, I think, were, like, really well done. Like, the choice to crop it to a square. The choice to, like, how they framed a lot of the shots I thought was really cool. So I will give the movie that.
Yeah, I gave it that. I also liked the acting performances. I just love Jacob Elordi as... I love Jacob Elordi, period.
I need to run into him because he's from Melbourne.
Is he from Melbourne, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Ugh. You're literally besties.
No, like, we're like this.
And... but he does a really good like British posh toff accent. He's so good at it, like,
which I'm
crazy.
Like, how have you worked out how to do that?
Incredible.
Wait,
he watched
my videos. That's how he worked out how to do the accent.
He watched Super Nanny.
I feel like I could have been in Saltburn. I can do the accent. Ollie.
do your I can't even do the accent because they're very posh. When he's like, it's like, come to Saltburn.
Well, Ollie, come to Saltburn. No, I fucked up the Saltburn bit. How does the posh person say Saltburn? Saltburn.
They say salt. They say Saltburn.
Come to Saltburn. I guess I'm never going to Saltburn. Like, damn.
You are not invited to spend
this
summer
is like, in
Saltburn.
This is going to be like a niche deep cut. Do you play Fortnite? But there's like a part on the Fortnite map. I think it's called like the Manor or something. And every time I play with my friend, I'm like, are we dropping it Saltburn? Because it looks like the Saltburn hair. That's so embarrassing.
That is so fucking funny because Kath, my editor, plays Fortnite.
Yes.
And all of my friends play Fortnite as well. Yes. And my boyfriend plays Fortnite.
Yes.
So they're going to, when they listen to the episode, they're going to love
They can be like, reference. Yeah, the manor looks like Saltburn.
Does it? But yeah, I liked the cinematography. Mm. With the aspect ratio, at first I hated it because I was like, this shit is so fucking pretentious because I didn't like the movie. So I was like, it's... Someone said it would have gone, Saltburn would have gone platinum on 2014 Tumblr.
Actually, that's, yeah, I would agree. I mean, it went platinum on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Any Saltburn content does really well. Yeah. But, yeah, no, sorry, back onto the aspect ratio. The cinematographer is the same cinematographer that did Babylon, and I love that movie.
I haven't seen Babylon.
It's so... I could actually use this for my in defense of, but I'm doing something else. Okay. I nearly did my in defense of for Babylon because it got really, like, quite poorly reviewed.
Yeah,
and it's one of the best movies I've seen all year.
Oh, okay. I'll have to watch it.
Jack didn't like it. It's a love or hate.
Interesting. Why didn't he like it?
He said that it just kept going on and on and on and it got so ridiculous. And I was like, I love that.
Okay. When I watch it, I'll keep those conflicting reports in my mind.
Keep them in mind, but the cinematographer Linus Sandgren said that he did the aspect ratio because the rooms in Saltburn are very square, very square, very tall house. So he wanted to get people, but also a lot of the house because the house is going to be there. A lot of the film centers around the house, and the fact the house is going to be there forever, but these people are not going to be there forever.
Like that's
so there's
smart.
Like so much emphasis. It's fucking smart, and it's the only smart thing about that stupid ass movie.
It was fun. I feel like I'm glad I watched it because I enjoy fun cinema. Like, not everything has to be like super highbrow. But then there's I have an asterisk with that because like if it is trying to come across as highbrow, then sometimes it's but then if it's not trying too hard, then it's fun. But I haven't decided if I thought that Saltburn was trying too hard.
See, I feel like a good way to describe it is as smarter than it thinks it is. Not as smart as it thinks it is. Sorry, I said the wrong thing.
It's smarter than it thinks it is.
It's not as smart as it thinks it is. And someone, when I uploaded my review, I've gotten so many really interesting comments, and someone said that they should have gone down the showgirls route of making it really campy because it just took itself so seriously that I left it. I had a lot of qualms and nitpicks, and I like silly movies. I like stupid movies. It's not even from a film bro cinephile perspective, but I had a lot of bones to pick with the depiction of class and the fact that I thought it did a really poor job at depicting class dynamics and things like that, and that was where a lot of my qualms, and I was like, I wouldn't have these qualms if the movie didn't take itself so seriously, and thought it was so smart. If it leaned into the campiness, they would have thought it was a lot of fun. And again, I think the comedy aspects were really good. I thought Rosamund Pike was hilarious.
God, I love her so much. I was talking to my sister yesterday because she was looking for a movie recommendation and she hadn't watched Gone Girl. So I was like, well, there you go.
I love Gone Girl. Great Such movie. Ben Affleck got cast because apparently, again, I feel like this might be a Twitter rumor, but apparently the director of Gone Girl googled uncomfortable smile and Ben Affleck came up first.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop, that's so funny. He was actually really good in that movie.
He is so good in it because he just if that was real life, I'd think, yeah, you did kill your wife. You know what? He's so good at being so unlikable, and I think that's a talent.
Yeah.
He's unlikable without being...
Oh, I feel like I need to watch that again. That's David Fincher, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I need to watch
and
that.
And he ate up with... David Fincher did... what was that Netflix series? Oh, my God. Why has the name left my head?
Series?
It has Jesse St. James in it. Has Jonathan Groff in it. Oh, my God. He did it was a crime series.
Is it True Detective? No, Mindhunter.
Mindhunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Mindhunter was great.
Have you seen The Killer?
Mm-mm.
I loved The Killer. The Killer's the newest one. It's a Netflix one. It's a movie. and it's Michael Fassbender as an assassin, but it's the way that it's told is like really slow. So it's like the first scene is him doing a hit, but it like goes for like 20 minutes and like every single detail they'll show. So it's like not like bang, bang, mm-hmm. bang action movie. I just thought it was really interesting and it was like really cool.
Oh, cool.
Anything David Fincher makes, I'm like, yes.
Love that. Mm. I'm definitely going to check that out. So finally getting onto the topic. Mm-hmm. This is just what voice notes are all about. It's all about having a conversation,
Yapping.
It is literally about yapping. Like, I remember when I went onto BBC Sounds, love them. I kept trailing off and they kept having to like nip it in the bud and be like, you can't trail off on this. I'm like, sorry. But we're all about trailing off here. So today's episode with the lovely Mike is all about in defense of. Mm-hmm. So me and Mike have both presented some things. I have two just in case.
Okay.
But I feel like we've yapped enough, so I feel like I can just do one.
Okay.
So basically me and Mike are going to defend something which perhaps it's widely stigmatized, hated. And we're going to be like, no, actually, I'm here to defend that. So take it away, Mike. You're my guest. Okay. You can go first.
I would like to bring to the people of the court the case for silly movies and silly content. This kind of relates to what I've already been hinting at. I've been dropping hints throughout my conversation points. I think there is space for silly movies. And a silly movie, I haven't seen anyone but you, but I think that would be a silly movie. Because like from everything that I've seen, everything that I've heard, it seems like a silly movie. And I would say a silly movie is something that it's not trying to be like a super serious movie, but then people will like absolutely hate it. And they'll be like, this should never have been made. But I'm like, I don't like that. And I think we should be like supporting some of the silly movies and silly TV shows. I understand the case when people are like, this movie shouldn't have been made. And it's like a movie that's like six in a series and it costs like X hundred million dollars. And we could have used that money to like fund other projects. But I'm talking like movies that are like one-offs, like silly rom-coms, like fun rom-coms, maybe even like musical movies because they get like panned a lot. It's like, it doesn't need to be the best movie ever. It can just need to be like fun for someone or like fun for a group of people that are going to enjoy it. Or another example is Riverdale. Like Riverdale is that's silly media, but it's like not necessarily, it's not amazing by any means, but it's like not absolutely terrible to the point where like everyone needs to be panning it nonstop. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I think I find that a lot of people do it on YouTube.com is they will do like reacting to this episode of Riverdale. What? Like, sorry, I'm trying to, they'll be like, sorry, that was like actually incomprehensible, but they'll be like, you won't believe what Riverdale did in this episode. And it's them reacting to an episode of Riverdale just talking about how stupid it is. It has like 2 million views. I'm like...
Okay. I do have opinions on... Okay, I need to word this so carefully. I do have opinions on the phenomenon on YouTube where everything is like the worst or terrible or can't believe this got made. Or da 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 da. Like a lot of it is so negative. Do you know what I mean? And it's like there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. And it's like I know that people are allowed to say that something's bad. Like I think it's important to have critics because if you don't have critics, then things will never improve. But at the same time, it's like sometimes I'll like go onto my YouTube homepage and it's like, damn, like this is all so negative. And it's like, just like pulling apart something, da 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 da. It's like, you can talk about something without pulling down every single aspect of it. And I find that's like, sometimes in the commentary space, that's a bit of a problem. But I also have like opinions on that related to moving into other parts of your career. Because it's like, if you spend your entire time on YouTube just pulling down projects that people have made, when you start trying to make projects, the people who watched you pull down these other things are going to hold you to a standard that's like so high that if you mess up at all, you're over.
No, completely. Like I actually feel quite I feel a similar way about, you know, when it's like you click on someone's YouTube channel and it's just negative, 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 negative. I feel like there's like two there's two branches of commentary. Actually, no, three. There's like comedic commentary. There's like social commentary, which I feel like I fall into. And then there's just negative commentary.
Which like where people negative will commentary like, will always do well. Because like
always.
So it's like I don't blame them for doing it because like I guess from like a business perspective it makes sense. But then sometimes I'm just like, damn, like you're setting yourself up a little bit here. Like you can never make something original and not have like people absolutely like tear it to shreds.
It like it sets them up for almost failure or at least hypercriticism. But I also sort of feel a similar way to, you know, like commentary YouTubers that talk about like other influencers, other YouTubers. They talk about drama, things like that. And I'm thinking, you're crafting an entire audience of being hypercritical of other people. What do you think your audience are going to do to you when you make a misstep or something like that?
I do watch that content. I mean, there's like a solid like, maybe it was like 2019, 2020, 2021. I was all over that. I was watching every single thing that popped up.
The Dramageddon.
Oh, don't get me started. One of my like career goals is to like make a feature film about Dramageddon. Like, I'm so serious because like there is...
Wait. I need to know your fan cast for Dramageddon movie. Like, okay. I would choose Meryl Streep as Tati Westbrook. Like, we need an actress.
No, I need Jessica Chastain. I need Jessica Chastain as Tati. I don't know who I would get to be Jeffrey. Maybe like I could like if this was in like 5 years, I could see, you know, like Timothy Chalamet like shaving all his hair and like going blonde and like doing like crazy eye makeup for his role as Jeffree Star in Dramageddon and getting an Oscar. Because like no one would expect that. And it's like that whole spectacle, in my head, there's absolutely no way that that would not be adapted. Because if you think about it, like, it was such like a, it was like, again, it was like so unserious. But at the same time, it was such a huge cultural moment. And I feel like it shifted so much.
It was such a cultural phenomenon.
And like, it shifted so much stuff in the online space. I feel like it's just begging to be turned into some kind of media. So I'm like, give it a few years. Let me like... cut my teeth on some like writing stuff and then I'll do my Dramageddon movie.
That is so, again, we need more silly movies. Do you know what I mean?
And Dramageddon like, will mean, be a it's silly, silly movie.
But also it's like, I do feel like Dramageddon could be made into like a serious like movie. Do you know what I mean? Because it like, it sounds so daft when you explain to someone what Dramageddon was. I had to explain to my boyfriend once when we first started dating what Dramageddon was, like the Tati Care Bear hair Dramageddon.
Sugar Bear. Is it Sugar Bear hair?
Sugar Bear
not hair. Not Care Bear hair.
So sorry, wrong bear. And to be fair, it was such a green flag that you didn't know what Dramageddon was, because if a man does know what Dramageddon is, like a straight man knows who Dramageddon is, I'm like, okay, so you'll run through, right?
Who told you about Tati? Actually, that's so true. I remember, like, I was still working full-time at that point. So I would, like, come into the office and there was, like, three people who knew what was happening. So we would just, like, for about an hour every lunchtime, we'd, like, give the updates on Dramageddon. So I was like, but this was happening, like, there was so much happening all the time. Like, there was, like, the...
So much.
So many aspects to it. There's so much, like, it goes for years. Like, it's such good content.
Years. It's such good content. There's like it's such good character studies as well. Like I feel like the dynamic between Tati and James can actually be explored so much. So it was like the mentee apparently betrays the mentor.
It's
like
so wild. And then it's like you could. I mean, okay. So I've obviously thought about this. So you could either do it in a movie format or you could do it in a limited series format, and the limited series would cover like Dramageddon 1, 2, 3. Because it was like Dramageddon 1 was, that was Tati James, right? And then Dramageddon 2.
Dramageddon 1 was Jeffrey, Laura Lee, Manny MUA, and then Gabriel Zamora.
See, in my head, that to me is like prequel. Like that's like, I don't count that as starting Dramageddon. In my head, Dramageddon like starts from Tati James. And then like before that, there's the like, the prologue of the... of the Gabriel Zamora stuff and all that kind of thing. And then there's like the Jeffree stuff and then the Shane series and then Shane against Tati and then James coming back and like whacking them again. It's just, yeah. I'm saying like it could be a limited series or it could be a movie. let us know what you want.
Let us know in the comments. I'll put a poll on Spotify.
Yeah.
Limited series or movie? Mm. Sorry, that is I absolutely love that. But yeah, no, back onto your defense of silly thing. This is why we need silly media. I remember I got pissed off with commentary YouTube because I saw someone. To be fair, did I imagine this? I don't know. I don't trust myself sometimes. But I remember once I did see someone like do a commentary video of like the Bratz movie.
And, was
like,
it me?
Being like, this is. No, saying how stupid it was.
No, I love the Bratz movie.
I love the Bratz movie. Like, it's meant to be stupid.
It's also like, it's for kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're watching like kids movies and you're like, this is not good, it's like, kids would fucking love it, which means it's like a successful movie.
We're soon going to see like commentary takedowns of Cocomelon. Like,
oh my God, don't. I put this on my like close friends the other day. I'm like obsessed with the soundtracks of like PS1 Xbox games. That is Cocomelon to me. So I put that on my story. I was like, this is Cocomelon to me. Like, I will like listen to it for hours. It's just like, it's called like Jungle.
Jungle Music.
Yeah. But it's like the specific like early 2000s jungle techno that was in like Sonic and like Fast and Furious, like all like the early PlayStation Xbox games. Like, there's playlists of it on YouTube, and that's like literal Cocomelon to me.
Oh my God, cool. Yeah, because it's like, it's got like fast drums, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, probably got like a. Sorry.
And it's like supposed to be, it's supposed to help you concentrate because it's like video game music.
That's so, because I'm trying to, I loved, like, you, I'm sure you have seen the promotions for the, was it the PS1 or the PS2? Like, you know, it came out, it was like a Y2K, like the posters for the PS2. Have you seen those?
A lot of the ones that are circulating and go viral on Twitter are fake. But some of them, but some of them are real and they're like so good. But like, you can't trust Twitter.
Whichever ones are fake or real. So true. I actually, you know what? I think a lot about the fact that like, we say like, oh, old people are so dumb when they use the internet. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm like, guys, I literally, like I say in my videos quite often, I'm like, I actually believe a lot of the things that I see on TikTok because I'm stupid. Like, I very rarely fact check things because I am like, I forget that people's brains are different from mine in a sense where I'm like, why the fuck would someone lie?
Yeah, sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm like, literally anyone could get up on the internet and say anything. And sometimes like a story will happen where it reminds me of that. Like the guy who, he like made a story saying that Pedro Pascal was going to be cast in the Minecraft movie. And then like that like went everywhere, but it's not true. He just made it up.
I love those ones where they're like, but someone's like, source, I made it up.
Source, my brain told me that's true. I mean, sometimes like I will do that. Sometimes like I will think something or I'll say something and then I'll try and remember where I found that out. And I'm like, oh, I actually dreamed that. And that didn't actually happen.
To be fair, sometimes I just like making up stories that like, if I'm trying to prove a point, I'll be like, oh no, because you know my friend, this happened to her because of X, Y, Z. It's not true, but it could happen. Like, it's plausible. Do you know what I mean? It's
plausible. That's the thing. And not to like scare everyone, but if it's possible that has happened, then it has happened. Don't get me started. Like, I have theories.
Wait, that's so true. Did you talk about this on your podcast? I feel like this is something that you would, because do you remember when your podcast, because you used to answer the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what I mean? Like, this sounds like something that you would cover.
Absolutely.
On your podcast.
I did a podcast episode talking about space. This was like, I like loved that era of my podcast where I was like all sciencey shit, but everyone hated those episodes.
So, I loved those episodes.
Oh, well, thank you. But most of the girlies were like, no, like, you need to stop this right now. But one of the things that I talked about was how if the universe is infinite, then there's infinite like things happening all at once, and it represents all stages of things that have happened or can happen at any given point in time. So it's like, why are we talking about this? I just like came in the back of my head. I was like, wait, what am I yapping about this for?
We were talking about Riverdale.
Oh no, you said that sometimes you pretend that someone else could potentially go through the thing that you were talking about.
To back up a point that I'm making. Yeah.
So like, and if often you're ever I'll be in doubt,
arguing, yeah.
Be like, you could just be like, somewhere in the universe that happened. Because it's true. So like, that's true. Literally like that's.
It is true. It is literally so, so true. So true.
Exactly.
Exactly. Do you have anything else to say about Riverdale and like in defense of like silly and like fun I think movies and stuff?
Silly media also extends to music. Like, I find that a lot of my favorite, like, for example, K-pop songs are the silly ones. Like this song called Super Lady. Like, it's like not a serious song at all. Or like the song that they, what was the other one? Let me check. They had like one song that did really well. And it was like, just like, it was silly, but it was like, they weren't trying to be serious. The whole point was to be silly. So I think there's definitely space for that. And I find that a lot of content online is so hypercritical of everything that there needs to be an active push for more silly content. Otherwise we're going to have like no silly content, no silly content allowed. Because I just find that like,
yeah,
everything's just shifting to being hyper negative.
Mm-hmm.
In yeah, all no, aspects.
I completely agree. Yeah, to be fair, negativity makes bank. It gets the views. People
it does.
Love,
like,
one thing about hate, yeah, love, people love hating stuff.
Like, absolutely. Like,
same.
The amount of times that I've been like writing about a movie and I'm like, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, I could switch this to be like, XYZ is the worst, da 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 da. And I'm like, that would like do numbers. But I'm like, it's just like something about it. I'm like, like, no. You know what? No, I am going to leave.
But because people are going to be so hypercritical of your Dramageddon movie when it eventually comes out.
Exactly.
So you've got to sow the seeds for your, of for your
kindness.
Future career.
I'm sowing the seeds of kindness. That's the crux of what I'm
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. So in my defense of, Mike, I sent you a TikTok.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Please open the TikTok and watch it.
Oh my God, okay. Live reaction?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, open TikTok. It gave me an age restriction. Hold on. What is this? I've seen this because I've seen someone taking the piss out of this.
Exactly. Okay, so this is Pints Chit Chat and Good People, the TikTok. If you guys feel free to search it up on TikTok if you're listening and you haven't heard of this. Mm-hmm. Basically, to set the scene for anyone who can't be bothered to search it up, it is what, like five guys?
Yeah, I'm seeing three. No, there's actually no, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're five. Yeah, five.
Okay, so there's five guys, not the restaurant. And there are five. There are five guys stood around, they're having pints outside of a pub, and the caption is Pints, Chit Chat, and Good People. And let me tell you, this set off British TikTok into a frenzy. Like, it was...
Oh my God.
I have never seen anything like it.
Wait,
like,
are you
it was
for
like,
or against Chit Chats with Good People?
This is... I'm in defense of Pints, Chit Chats, and Good People.
Oh, okay.
So here is my case. So... First of all, the reaction
was so many people were ripping into the main guy specifically, doing impersonations of it, which I think is fine. Oh, one second. Oh, my God, it's full. Uh-oh. I don't have another memory card.
Ooh.
I can just record it here. It's fine.
Okay.
Rot roll.
Rot roll, Raggy.
I actually forget that so many people, I say rut-row so often, like I go rut-row. So many people have got no idea what I'm talking about. And it's like
come on, people, get it together.
Come on. So Pints Chit Chat, Good People. People were like, and then like, there was like some, what I would describe as the most deranged responses of people being like, this is so cringe. This is everything wrong with our generation. Da-da-da-da. I'm just sat here. Like, first of all, I would like to say, perhaps this may put me in a bit of a bias, but I am one person away from the Pints Chit Chat and Good People guy. I was out.
Wait,
to
so that's, that. Yes. You're saying that's oomps oomph?
That's oomps oomps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hello, hello. All right, we're back. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry about that, Mike. Thank you for being so patient.
No worries.
In my corporate bag.
la 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 la. Okay. It's giving ASMR, lady who eats the pickle.
So anybody who's watching, I apologize. Cameras full, don't have extra memory cards. Someone please acquire and buy my podcast off of me so I don't have to do this ever again. So back on to, let me actually start, I don't know where I got cut off actually, but
okay.
With Pints Chit Chat and Good People, it sort of spurred on a load of like hyper criticism, really like people being really horrible. And like, look, I understand just taking the piss because it is a bit silly. It is a bit silly, right? But I am one person away from Pints Chit Chat and Good People, so maybe I have a bias here.
Mm-hmm.
I know someone whose roommate is good friends with him.
Right.
This guy that I know has been on nights out with him and actually says he's a really nice guy.
He really is having good chats with good people.
And this is the thing, is that like, first of all, I think people's responses to like male influencers has like a lot to say about how we view influencing. I think people view influencing as a very feminine job because it is dominated by women. So I think if a woman had posted that, no one would really care. But because a man has posted this sort of very TikTok-y influencery video, I think people are like, oh, cringe. And then
also, that's an interesting perspective.
He actually had a fucking point. Pints, Chit Chat, and Good People. Like who doesn't love
that? That's a killer combination.
It's a killer combination. And the fact that, sorry, but you guys all go to the pub and you have Chit Chat with Good People with Pints. Like
if you take one of those out, it just ruins the equation. So if you take out the Good People and just having Pints and Chit Chat with average people, it's not fun anymore. But if you're having Pints with Good People, but there's no good chat, what's the point? Like, it's just like, like, why are you even there? Do you know what I mean? It's he made a point for sure. But was it worth all the think pieces? Do you reckon he regrets it?
I wonder, because the thing is, I wonder if he does regret it because he is playing into it. And I think I actually saw an interview with him where he said that like he can now do influencing. He now makes money from influencing because of all of the traction that video got.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like the thing for me that I feel like greenlit everyone to like take the piss out of him was the fact that it looks like he was trying to be serious. Because like there's a thing on TikTok that's like, if it looks like you're trying, that's immediately cringe. So it's like, it has to look like you're taking the piss in some regard. Or like the fact that the camera's there and they're having the pints and the chit chat, but then like they don't really acknowledge the camera, but like he will like be laughing in front of the camera, but it looks staged. So people are like, oh, that's cringe. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's almost like, I guess it's the performance aspect to it that you can tell that he has set up his camera and he perhaps is acting in this way because he's making a TikTok. And I think it's almost like when people become aware, it's like TikTok is fun until you are aware of TikTok. And if you're aware of TikTok, then you're like borderlining into cringe. Am I making sense?
I see what you're saying. Like what you're putting down, I'm seeing it. It's literally like this whole conversation is that meme. It's like, it'd be two dumb bitches saying, exactly. I think we're on the same page. And I think this TikTok reminds me of the Fitzroy Garage Party. Do you know of that?
I know the Fitzroy Garage sesh, and this is why I wanted to bring it up, because I felt like you could bounce with some of your, like, guys, I have asked Mike for many, like, Australian culture questions, one of them being, is there trees in Melbourne that smell like cum, or is that just made up?
Well, yes.
And the next thing, did I ever ask you about Fitzroy Garage sesh? Because I wanted to understand what, like, I just saw it as a bit cringe, but I feel like there's, like, layers to it.
There's
right?
absolutely layers. Also, I've walked past the garage.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, a couple blocks from me. Like, it's... Yeah. Yeah,
oh
there's, like...
Oh, my God.
A historical landmark. They should put a sign and start charging people to look at it. Well, I heard something outrageous about the Fitzroy Garage Party. That something along the lines of none of them actually lived there. And it was like someone else's house that they used for this party. But then it's just some random person's house. Like it's none of their house. It's just like
So, okay. So, did they set up the garage? So, does this person, like, rent out their garage?
Well, okay. From what I've heard, apparently it's someone who's someone. Let's say that. It's their house.
Okay.
And then they allowed these people to have the party in the house. And then this went viral, but it's actually like some famous person's house.
Really?
This could be absolute. Again, it sort of relates to the.
So people, the Americans listening, are like, "What the fuck are these two talking about? Are you talking about
someone had a party in the garage? How's that news?" I love niche like Australian like TikTok drama. Like there's drama unfolding right now with someone buying a mug.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I know, because the girl that had bought the mug has an extremely thick accent. I've never
like
heard
Australian
an
accent?
Australian accent. Yes, like the
I never
the
even registered
Australian
that.
Accent. I registered because she talks. I don't want to offend you, but she sort of spoke like she was like, and I bought this mug, and I was like, whoa.
Wait, that was actually. Wait, you're so Australian coded.
I'm so Australian coded.
I love that drama. So that's like come up on your For You page.
I think there's a lot of crossover between British and Australian TikTok, because I remember when Fitzroy Garage Sales happened, I was truly trying to get to the bottom of what everyone was like, the sort of culture around why everyone found it so cringy. And I think it's because Fitzroy is similar to Hackney in London.
Okay.
But I could be wrong, because obviously I've never been to Fitzroy.
Well, I think you're definitely like on the right path. And then there's also what I was saying before about like the second when people can see that you're making an effort, it gets cringe. In Australia, I feel like that's like so much worse. If people are like, see something as like, oh, they're doing this for the camera or blah, 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 blah. It's just like instant vitriol and hate. Like, the Australian, like, I don't know what it is, but it's like if anyone is actively trying to make content in a serious manner in Australia, it's like, ugh. So I think that like
really?
Came into it, yeah. Like people,
I do feel like
hate influencers in Australia.
I do feel like Australia is like the popular people at the school like dining hall.
What?
Like if countries are like in a dining hall, Australia give me like mean vibes.
But like do people think that Australia is cool?
Yeah, in the UK people think Australia is very cool.
Really?
That's why like there's a huge influx of people from the UK moving to Australia. I considered moving to Australia at one point.
Oh my god, you should do it.
I know. I was so like because there's like a really, to be fair, there's a big rental crisis in Australia now. But a couple, like there's a really bad rental crisis in London. And I was like, why am I here? Like I could be getting a nice flat in Australia.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people went from London to Sydney. And in Australia, Sydney, like the rent is just fucking terrible. Like it's so high and there's hardly any places available. But then there's all these people from London coming and they're like, oh, this is great. I'm like, huh?
That's the thing. I saw a TikTok and I just think I'm very much of the belief that we should not post everything.
Oh, absolutely.
That comes to our heads.
Oh, absolutely. But I could talk about that for hours. Even though that goes against literally what we're agreeing on. Like you're saying, we don't need to post everything. Me, I can talk about that for hours.
Like, I am not even joking when I say this, that some things, just call your mum. Like, just call your mum and complain to your mum about it. Because this girl, she's like, if you're from London and you want to move to Australia, this is your sign to not move. And basically the entire TikTok was her talking about the rental crisis I think she was in Sydney, actually.
It probably would be
talking
Sydney.
About the rental crisis, how hard it was to find somewhere. And I'm like, girl, like, because I, as soon as I opened the comments, I knew exactly what I was going to see. It was a load of Australian people being like, go the fuck home. And you know what? Maybe they have a fucking point, because I would never move to a different country and then complain about how bad the rental crisis is, because it's worse on the people that are actually from there.
Yeah. I feel like that also leans into another aspect that I feel like I learned pretty early on is just like, you should not get on the internet and complain, full stop. Because like, someone's doing it worse than you. So it's like, in any situation, you are not the person who's like in the worst situation. So it's like,
yeah,
to complain about anything, it's just, you're setting yourself up to be ripped to shreds.
And to be fair, you could even relate this back to the ceramic cup Australian drama. Because she went on and spoke about how it was $120, which I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Mm.
$120 mug. And then the other person responded and said all of this stuff that she did. And then the other girl responded saying that she was lying. I love it.
Wait, I haven't seen that update. No. I've seen the one where she's like sitting in the car and she's talking about what happened. That's all I've seen. So I'm on the cusp of ceramic mug TikTok.
So I watched the original video. Have you seen the original video of her when she bought the mug?
No.
So the original video of when she bought the mug, she didn't name the business or anything. She bought the mug and was like, I'm going to do an impression of her really thick accent. She was like, so I bought this mug, right? And it has two handles.
Why does
that
just sound like me?
Why does this have... Yours is not that thick. Either that or I've gotten used to it.
Because like when I watch that video, I don't think anything about it. So does my accent sound different to hers?
Yes. Your accent, so I feel like, sounds a lot softer. But I don't know whether it's because I literally watch so many of your videos that I'm used to it.
It could also be like maybe the volume. I find that when Australian people talk louder, the accent comes through a lot more prominent.
Yeah, and to be fair, it's the same in the UK as well. As soon as I've had like a lick of alcohol, I'm like, oi, what the fuck? Mate, do you know what I mean? Like, I go full British. But so there was the original video where she basically says that she paid $120. She felt too rude to be like, oh, I don't want it anymore. And then it has two handles, and she doesn't really understand why it has two handles. If it's a sippy cup and it's made out of ceramic,
right,
it's just going to fall on the floor and smash.
Right.
And then the other video, the other owner was like, you came into my store, you touched all my stuff, you were asking for the prices, da da da. And then the other girl came back in the car and was like, you have made this up. This is not true.
And then I feel like I saw something in the comments that like people had gone to that day and found either Instagram photos or TikToks of the shop. So then they worked out the arrangement of the store. And they were like, this supports this story that she wouldn't have seen the price of the mug or something.
One thing about me is I love jobless people that don't have a life. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love
which is me.
Literally me. And I love the fact that people could go on to, people went on to and did the background check.
Yeah, they're going to do a background check. Yeah, I mean, I do love to do a background check. Like, if you give me 5 to 10 minutes, I could get the background on pretty much anyone.
Really? I never background check people.
It's like if my sister's, like, talking to someone on Hinge and she's like, can you give me, like, the 411 on this person? Da 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 da. And this will be at, like, 10 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Like, oh, really hard day in the office.
Like those memes that are, like, the unemployed friend on a Tuesday, like, all those memes, I've literally done all of those things. It'd be like...
It's so funny, yeah.
Like being at the movies. Sorry. Like, yeah, I'll go to the movies at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday.
It's so funny because it's like literally like a lot of my immediate friends are YouTubers. Hmm. So we'll be like, oh, should we go for brunch on like a Wednesday at 2?
Yeah.
Actually, like, this is so... And it's so fucking quiet. They're like, why is it so quiet? And we're like, oh, everyone's at work.
It's or, actually like... It's so funny because it's like... I think I do more work now than I did when I worked in corporate, but it's so fun and it doesn't feel like work. I literally just, like, I feel like I don't have a job and I'm just having fun.
Literally, it does feel like that. Like, I have my office now to sort of get me into a bit of a groove because I do so much script writing.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of it is just fun. Like, I was saying to Lem, because I was getting stressed out about trying to get to the studio and all of this, and I was literally like, wait, I'm literally sat down getting to FaceTime my friend. Like, that's...
Silly.
So silly. But back onto Pints chit-chatting good people. Mm-hmm. I'm basically here to defend them. I don't think that what they did was that cringy or that bad. And they made a point. Like, Pints chit-chat... Like, you could do, like, a graph, like what you were saying. Like, you can't have... Like, the Pints, the chit-chat, and the good people are all...
crucial,
like necessary components with one another. Otherwise, it would just collapse. Mm.
And I feel like it actually, like, not to get in my think piece bag, but I feel like it actually has so many connotations for society that it had so much of an impact, because it's like there's so many different ways to look at it. It's like the fact that they set up the phone to record it is one thing, mm-hmm. but it's the fact that people got so mad about that is another thing. It's like, are they fundamentally just jealous they don't have pints, chit chat, and good people?
Exactly. Like, is it rooted in jealousy, or is it rooted in the commodification of pub culture? Like, there's so many things that you could say about it. I think it's absolutely fascinating, but I am mostly in defense of these guys.
Okay.
So, the lot to finish off the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been yip yapping.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we could do voice notes fix my life, okay. The agony aunt segment of my show. And if you want to send in a problem, make sure it is to voicenotesfixmylife@gmail.com.
Okay.
So I have picked a messy question.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sent in August, so...
Okay.
Okay, so we've got, fix my life, please. I'm the girl best friend and I hate it. Hi, Jordan. Okay. I love your content so much. Thank you. First of all, I just wanted to say the story might be long. It's honestly like the least long story that I've gotten in my submissions. Okay. Some of the stories that I've gotten. So I have a problem that is 100% my fault. We love a self-aware queen.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me and my boy best friend. We've known each other since we were 12 years old, but our friendship grew over the years because his sister is one of my best friends as well.
Okay.
I knew he had a crush on me on and off for a long time, but back then I didn't see him like that until about a month ago. The problem is, that's the moment that I broke up with my boyfriend and he got into a relationship with another girl. For some reason, at the time, I started to notice he had a glow up, started going to the gym, got confident, and seemed really happy with his life. I met his girlfriend once, and she seemed like a lovely girl.
Okay.
The moment it went downhill is when we started hanging out together one-on-one instead of being with just our whole friend group. The sexual tension got way too high, and we ended up hooking up. I felt... Yeah.
Oh my god, okay.
I felt really bad for his girlfriend, but we still hooked up 3 times afterwards. And then she says again, this is really bad.
Mm.
The other problem is our friend group. I'm scared to confess to them what we did because everything will be so awkward and I'm scared everyone is going to hate me. How can I fix this without hurting people's feelings?
Okay. First of all, we need to know if the guy in the situation also feels guilty that he's cheating on his girlfriend. Because like this girl obviously feels weird about it, but what, like, how is he feeling? Because like,
because he is the one that is mostly in the wrong.
Yeah.
So I what's think that's that definitely, about? Yeah, definitely worth like looking into that part. Second of all, is this going to be... Do you guys actually have feelings for each other? Is it going to end in a relationship or are you just sleeping together? Third of all, you will not be able to do this without hurting anyone's feelings. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't
think the damage has already been done.
I think there is no way out of this without like hurting some feeling, singular. I feel like, how would I play this? Okay, first of all, before going to the group, you would have to come clean to the girl. Or the guy would have to come clean to the girl to work out, like, obviously, like, things aren't going well for them if he's cheated, like, 3 times, 3, 4 times. So it's, like, got to work out what's happening with that relationship. Then it's, like, okay, if that's done, then are you two going to try and pursue something? Because if you are, do they even need to tell the friend group what happened?
I don't think they need to tell the friend group what happened, but I do think that... like with friend groups it is going to get around, like it's just inevitable. Like she's gonna tell her, she could tell his sister who's her best friend.
That makes it really complicated. The sister,
that does make it complicated. This bloody sister.
Ooh, this is tricky. This was a good one.
It's really really it's a good one, isn't it? Okay, so my belief is, first of all, I would not even pursue anything with him if you do have feelings for him. Because in my opinion, look, I am very, I would say I'm actually a pretty understanding person of cheating as someone who has been cheated on before.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think that one-off cheating, there's like a lot of things that can contribute to that happening. And I do think that people can have regrets. I do think that someone can one-off cheat with someone and end up leaving their partner for that person and it could work out. Do you know what I mean? Things like that. Mm. But he has cheated on his girlfriend multiple times. Mm. And he will probably do the same thing to you.
I think that's the thing that is going to require the most digging to work out, why is this happening in the first place? Is it happening because these two people have chemistry and they've known each other for a long time? Has he done this before with other girlfriends? It's like, mm-hmm. is he going to do it again? Or is it just like these two were meant to be together? So that's why it's happening.
I don't think that these two are meant to be together. I don't get that vibe. And I am very understanding of these things. I don't get that vibe from them at all. I think it's one of those things where you think it's really hot because it's something that you shouldn't be doing. You're like, oh, we shouldn't be doing this. But as soon as those sort of outside factors that are stopping you guys from being together are taken out of the equation, I don't think, I mean, yeah, sure, you're best friends, but I think it's just the setup for not a good relationship, in my opinion.
Yeah. The friendship group dynamic is such an interesting part of it. Like the sister being, is the sister best friends with the guy?
The sister is sisters with the guy that she slept with, who had a girlfriend. And then, so it's the girl that we're talking about who sent the submission in. The guy that she slept with, who's her best friend.
Yeah.
His sister is her best friend.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Ooh, okay. So then I wonder if the sister knows.
I wonder that as well. I wonder if she'd even tell her, because if I was the sister and I found out my best friend had slept with my brother whilst he had a girlfriend, I would be like, what is your problem? Like, that's not a nice thing to do. No offense to this girl. I know that she's made a mistake, but if I was the sister, I would be a bit disappointed.
Yeah, I wonder, like, this feels so movie. Like, I would be so gagged if they actually sent you just like the plot of a movie and we're like discussing like these characters that aren't real.
One day someone is going to get me in my submissions with that.
You're actually going to like be accidentally like talking about Clueless.
So I don't even know what advice to give, to be honest. Yeah, that my advice would be cut him off.
Whoa.
Get him to come.
But yeah, she's obsessed with him.
Okay. Yeah, but I don't think he sounds like a very good egg. Not even necessarily a good egg. I think he sounds quite immature.
Do we know how old they are?
No, but most of the people that send these submissions in are sort of in their late teens, early 20s. Okay, okay. So this is giving... I remember someone actually sent a submission in and I was like, this person's definitely 17 years old. And they replied like, I'm 17, by the way. And it was so funny. I was like, I knew it. This is giving 19, 20-year-old drama.
Okay. So you're saying that she shouldn't pursue it?
Mm-mm, I don't think so. And I think you should say, oh, good idea here. You should say, I don't want things to go further. And if he stays with his girlfriend after he's cheated on her multiple times, that is a red flag.
I would set an ultimatum and I'd be like, if you want to keep hanging out with me in this capacity, you need to break things off with the girlfriend or you need to tell her what's happening. Because like, I think what they're doing at the moment, they need to consider the girlfriend's feelings, because like, it's a shit situation for her either way. It's a shit situation for everyone. But I feel like if she really likes this guy and he really likes her, first of all, if he liked her that much, he wouldn't be with the girlfriend.
Facts.
Second of all, maybe, like, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt here, where it's like maybe it was like a problem with timing. So I feel like they need to have like a proper chat and realize that this is not sustainable. That's the key thing. Communication about the fact it's not sustainable, and then they just set goals and circle back.
Incredible. Back in our corporate bag. Love that. Going back to our Zoom roots.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for sending the submission in. I know it was in August, so who knows, perhaps you tore apart the relationship and you and your friends aren't friends anymore. Just kidding, just kidding. I hope happened. That you guys are friends.
Give us an update.
I really want to, you know, people send me updates.
Stop, I love that.
It's great. I remember I had someone who sent in that their dad was dating a Republican senator and she sent the receipts.
Oh my God.
She sent the receipts and she like sent me an update. Someone that sent a submission for me and Jack sent in an update and I read it on the podcast and everyone in the comments was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for her. Like,
well, hopefully we get an update on this then.
Hopefully. Mm. Okay, so guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. Mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you so much, Mike, for coming on. This was so much fun.
Of course.
We both have BA honors degrees in yapping.
Yep.
Do you have anything else to say? Anything else to finish it off with?
I would say everyone go watch a silly movie.
Yes. My recommendation would be the Bratz movie.
Yes, that is an excellent movie. Everyone go watch the Bratz movie. Or watch Gone Girl, which is not a silly movie, but it's a great movie.
Great movie. Mm. All right. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
And I'll see you guys soon for another episode. Make sure you guys check out Mike's socials, but you probably already know him. But make sure you guys go check him out. He makes the best videos ever. And yeah, bye guys.